You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Well, yesterday, residents within the LA Unified School District had a chance to go to the polls to vote on Measure EE, a parcel tax which required two-thirds support for passage. It would have implemented a tax to go to the general fund of the LA Unified School District. The district said much of that money would have gone to expansion of support services on campuses, more nurses, other instructional supports for the teachers doing their jobs. Of course, also would have helped to fund the raises that are going to LA Unified teachers in the wake of the contract agreement following the strike. But not only did it fail to reach the two-thirds threshold, it was a wipeout for Measure EE. Not close. 45% of voters supported the measure. And though certainly there was not across the board predictions of passage, I think most people thought it would certainly be closer than this. KPECC education reporter Kyle Stokes is with us. Kyle, I thought this was going to be a close election.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people probably scratching their heads, maybe doing some soul searching this morning. The supporters of Measure EE were much better funded. They outfundraised the opponents of Measure EE by at least a 3-to-1 margin, and those are based on some sort of outdated figures. They haven't updated their campaign finance results to show the last couple weeks of the campaign. It may be much more than that. They had this sort of huge coalition of supporters, charter school advocates joining forces with their usual foes in the teachers union, and some of the major backers of charter schools. You rarely see Eli Broad giving to union efforts to elect anyone. And yet those two were on the same side. In addition to the mayor, who brought in some really big names, Mayor Pete Buttigieg from South Bend, Indiana, who's running for president, came in, held this big Yes on EE rally. There were so many advantages that, again, yes, you're right, Larry. I think a lot of people thought this was going to be at least close. It was not.
Not even. I'm frankly just shocked by the wipeout, by the size of it. And the other thing that's interesting, and it's hardly a representative sample, but we heard from listeners so much support for teachers during the period of the strike. And obviously, people are going to be more apt to call in and speak if they're in favor of a tax increase, because they're, you know, it portrays you as a more noble giving, person, as opposed to someone calling in and saying, I'm not going to give them another dime. We got those two, but much less. But this clearly showed, I think, that either there's a tax fatigue, because a number of them have been passed in recent years, or an absence of trust in the LA Unified School District. For example, my understanding of EE was there was no oversight committee, there's been for bond measures.
Well, it wasn't baked into the text of the ballot measure. There was a promise by the district to create an oversight committee later. So this became a point of dispute. To your point of why did this fail? Maybe it is tax fatigue. I think it's still very early and it's hard to know. I think it's important to remember that this was a special election. There was nothing else on the ballot for most of the district. Now, there were a couple of other items, though, in two specific pockets of the district. There was the state Senate special election that covered just a sliver of the southeastern part of the district. So maybe that didn't turn out there. But really, we had a city council primary in the West Valley, which was in the home of what was once the only LA city council seat that was held by a Republican. So potentially, a competitive race.
And that's a high
race,
turnout district.
A competitive race in a fairly conservative district. Then we sort of get into the bigger explanations beyond who was it that was going to turn out, yeses or noes. Maybe the district's message did fall flat here. But I do think it's a little bit early to know what was the major driver of this.
Probably multiple.
A lot of things that sort of came together. And I'm not a political scientist, and I'm not going to pundit my way through this question, I think.
But I would guess multiple things because of how one-sided it was. And the other thing you're saying is not just the money that was spent, but the number of public events, the news coverage of those public events. Now, typically a measure like this, which only covers a comparatively small swath of Southern California, wouldn't get a lot of traction, particularly for a special election. But EE coverage was everywhere. And these, I think, because the, as you said, the mayor was behind it, the superintendent of the district, the president of the teachers union. It was sort of all the institutionalists are aligned in support of this.
Right. It was it was quite the coalition, really, when you look at all of the people who were involved with it, and even some of the smaller organizations that got involved in the ground game of the campaign. You had teachers union, you know, sort of canvassers going shoulder to shoulder with people like Parent Revolution and Speak Up. Those are two organizations that, if you're not familiar with education politics in LA, those are two groups that have organized, you know, that have been targets of teachers union criticism, at least. And I think that, you know, Parent Revolution and Speak Up would say that they're probably a little bit skeptical of teachers unions themselves. And, you know, seeing that sort of wide coalition come together. And I think that, to the broader implication of this here is that, you know, after the strike was hugely, hugely popular. The surveys that were out there showed that something like 80% of all Angelenos across parent, not parent, low income, high income, whatever racial group, supported the strike by wide margins. And I think that was the survey data and some of the information, the thought that really drove the district to look at poll numbers, which previously they had thought were soft. Support for this was not necessarily showing, you know, it showed it was going to be a close call for passage no matter what. I think that it was the support for the strike that we saw across the board that really drove the district to bring this to the ballot. And so it's sort of surprising to see that even or maybe
that they were not the same thing.
Well, it tests the limit of that narrative for sure, that all the strike support for the striking teachers is the same as the support for LAUSD.
So what's the plan B for the district, Kyle? How are they going to fund the salary increases, and how are they going to hire these additional classroom support people?
So the big unfunded thing out there right now is this package of class size decreases and hiring of more nurses, counselors, and social workers. And those are going to be that's $228 million that is not funded, and that's part of the teacher's contract. The district has agreed to do it. Now, that big $228 million bill doesn't come due until 2021. So the district has some time. The district also is not going to run out of cash tomorrow. They've got $1.8 billion in the bank right now. And now the problem, though, that I think the district faces in the much nearer term is that the County Office of Education, their financial regulators, LAUSD's financial regulators, are concerned at the rate that the district is burning through that $1.8 billion, so much to the point that they're worried that the district is going to have to dip into emergency reserves by 2021. And so Measure EE's passage would have made it a lot easier to say to the county, hey, look, we've got this under control. We've got the money that we need to make ends meet for the next 3 years. Now what the district is faced with the task of doing is by July 1st, submitting a balanced budget to the county that shows not just for this coming year, but for the next 3 years that the district can end those years in the black. And that task just got a lot more complicated. It's still doable. But we're about to see some, I would guess, some pretty scary numbers of deficit projections from the district. That's been their practice in the past. And I think that's going to drive this narrative further of, well, is the county going to step up its intervention? And that doesn't look good for LAUSD.
Yeah. And the other thing is LAUSD finally going to start closing some campuses? As they've seen enrollment decline, this is something other coastal California districts have done. They've closed schools because it's just the overhead is too expensive when you don't have as many students going to those schools. I would think that's something the district's going to have to look at.
I'm not sure whether closing campuses is going to have to be on the table. I think there are a lot of smaller steps that the district can take prior to that, but there are other obligations the district, you know, has been, and the teachers union have been loath to revisit. For instance, healthcare is a huge cost. There are any number of ways that the operating costs of this district can be addressed. And the other thing is that there are two, you know, potential things that could be on your ballot in the near future. They could run a parcel tax again during the March 2020 election. I mean, that's going to be much higher turnout, and the thinking would be that the electorate would be a little bit more liberal potentially. And then there's split roll in 2020, where the state could vote on a potentially rolling back some of the Prop 13 protections for commercial properties and raise taxes from that.
Yeah, this isn't a good sign for that, though.
Right.
Let me share some other listener comments here. Pippi writes on the page, why the surprise? People are sick of being taxed. If all the taxes or fees, as they like like to call them, asked for were passed, people be paying more in taxes than they'd have in income. Mainly Me writes on the page, I taught in LAUSD for a while, and I wonder if this EE was just a stunt by the district. No way it was going to get 2/3. Did they put it up knowing it would fail as a way to get out of the strike agreement? You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. KPCC education reporter Kyle Stokes with us, and you'll be able to follow his continuing coverage at KPCC and LAist.com as well. Good to have you with us on 89.3.